Welcome to What's Balance Got to Do With It, hosted by Heather Andrews. This podcast series is based on the book by the same name. Join these 11 co-authors as they share their real and raw stories to help others understand how unique balance can be for every individual. And now, here is your host, Heather Andrews, story coach, best-selling author, speaker, and founder of Get You Visible.
Hello, and welcome to our podcast, everyone. This podcast is based on the number one best-selling book, What's Balance Got to Do With It? And today, I am super excited to bring on Dr. Aaron Oxall, psychologist, award-winning business strategist, and high-performance coach. And today we're going to have a discussion around, is balance achievable? Welcome, Dr. Aaron.
Hi, friend. So good to be with you. Hi, listeners. This is one of my favorite topics.
Absolutely. And so when we were talking a while ago, probably about 2 years ago, about balance and is it really achievable in today's society, but then over the last year, things have changed so much, and it has just taken on such a different point of view, and everyone is looking for new balance. So what have you found? Can we still achieve balance in today's world?
Thank you for asking the question, and thank you for writing this book and getting this out there. It's, like I said, it's a topic I'm really passionate about because I think, one, almost every human that I know wants to achieve it, but it is achievable, I believe, based on the definition and kind of the concept that we're agreeing to. And so I see balance as alignment in all of the areas of your life that are important to you and equal levels of fulfillment. I don't see balance as something that's equal levels of time spent. And so I think if we adopt that definition, it opens up a whole new discussion of, wait a second, if I'm looking at what fulfills me, then there are certain things in my life that might even be off the table that someone else might say needs to be on the table. And I think as long as we're not hurting other human beings, we get to decide what success means to us. And so my life, you might look at my life and say, good Lord, she is so out of balance. She spends way too much time there and way too little time there. But for my husband and I and our children, it really works great. And I think balance is always something that's being renegotiated. So yeah, I've never done quarantine before. I've never lived like this before. I've never had my husband at home and my children at home with me before. And so balance is always shifting.
Absolutely. I love that. And also, I think I remember when we were talking about balance, like when you talk about the husband has been at home, and I remember that you saying, I've gone 32 days and I haven't been by myself.
Yeah, I did not have balance. I went on a walk and I realized, oh my good Lord, I have not left these humans alone. I have not been by myself. And boy, it was quite an exercise in figuring out what this new balance would look like, having everyone at home and all that stimulation and everyone kind of, the world had its way with, I had a pretty good thing going on and they came in and messed it up.
That's awesome. And so I just want to go back to just, you are a psychologist and you have over 15,000 hours of expertise in humans. And that is what I love so much about you. You just look at the human aspect of people and the brain and the psychology behind it and the science. And that's what I love about you bringing the expert opinion and forward into our book, What's Balance Got to Do With It? Because you bring in a very interesting perspective. And I remember, and it was also based on a little bit about what was in your book, Mind Your Own Business, and you had labeled it balance malance. So can you just give us a little bit of an overview of what that expert opinion looked like and how we came to come to balance malance and what that means?
I say balance malance because I think, like I said, it's this concept that if it's misunderstood is really not something we can ever attain. But yeah, thank you for letting me write that expert opinion. So if we think of balance as being equal alignment in all areas of our life, well, what are we trying to be in alignment with? We're trying to be in alignment with our definition of success. We're trying to be in alignment with our definition of who we want to show up as in the world. Who is our ideal self? And so we first have to define that in order to be in alignment with that. And last, I think we need to be in alignment with our mission and the legacy. You know, of course, that saying, if you don't know where you're going, any road will take you there. You've got to really think about, you know, high performers think about the end in mind. What do I want to create? And they work backwards. And so balance and alignment is about you getting in alignment with your own definition of success. You know, as a psychologist, no two sessions were ever the same because no two humans were ever the same and no two definitions of success and happiness were the same. And so I really take a stand for that, that what is success to you may not be success for me, but we could both achieve massive balance and joy and fulfillment in our lives.
I love that. And I think the thing is the biggest point here is it's a unique perspective on all aspects of your life. And I love how you put in the expert opinion that, you know, the areas in your life is family, love, work, relationships, physical health, spirituality, and financial. And we always say in the coaching world, and you can tune in here, is if one thing's out of alignment, chances are other things are out of alignment as well.
Yeah, it's like a wheel. Yeah, I love that. You know, if one of those areas has a little, you know, blip in it, the wheel's going to go ka-chunk, ka-chunk, ka-chunk. And if every area of your life is in alignment, then it gets to go smoothly. And so I think the goal is to just be intentional about, you know, how am I doing and how can I make this a smoother ride, so to speak.
Yeah. And I also love too how, you know, you and I spend a lot of time talking because we talk about our businesses, we talk about our families, we talk about our events that we've done together. And I just love we've kind of got that complete relationship and we spend a lot of time talking about a lot of the things that we've learned over the years. And because we have had our struggles and we have had, you know, comparison theory and we've had to have difficult conversations. And that when you're trying to achieve balance in your own unique life, that encompasses communication and those hard conversations.
Oh, I love that. It makes me think of something, Heather. You know, when I was starting the business, my husband was so smart. He sat the children down and he said, children, mommy's going to start a business and life is going to look a lot different around here. But in many ways, it's going to look a lot different around here, right? That we're going to have some of the things we desire and experiences we want, but I'm going to need you to kind of step up and help in certain ways. And that was a really important discussion to have that's always evolving. So we're constantly coming back to that communication of how's this working for you now? And I've been spending more time over here and how's that working for you? And what do you need me to be at? And what is success for my 15-year-old daughter? You know, what does she need me to be at? So the communication lines staying open will really help you achieve that balance. Because it's like a moving target, unfortunately, but it's achievable.
I love that. And I just remember also we talk about when it's achievable and we have those conversations with our spouse and our children and we keep that open dialogue open. I think it really is, it's a modeling the way for our kids and others as well, because they learn to manage time. And it comes from that space of, I owe this to myself to put myself first in my own life. And when we can model that, half of the things that our kids are smarter than us because we've taught them this and they're further along than we are.
We've raised some pretty epic human beings, haven't we, Heather? I mean, yeah. My God, I would hope that all of the self-development we've invested in for ourselves would have a little bit of payoff in our children. And it definitely is. It reminds me, the idea of being selfish opens up a whole new topic in terms of this conversation. I think so many of us struggle with giving ourselves permission to define success for ourselves. So there are many people in my life that do not think I am doing my life right. but guess what? They're not all credible sources of how well I'm doing. They really don't. Like, there's people in my life, especially in my family, that think you have a PhD, you should not be a coach, you should be in private practice. There's all sorts of rules that they think I'm breaking. And so to them, I'm totally out of balance. And so I think, you know, and I think there are different phases of life where things become more important than others. And I think giving yourself the permission to ebb and flow with that, the permission to change your mind, the permission to say, I thought this was going to feel good, but it doesn't. Like, huh, you know? And definitely modeling that permission to our children is life-changing for them, because they have never thought I'm a selfish individual. When I communicate with them, they know what I'm up to in the world, and it benefits them because I'm happy, joyous, and free.
That's awesome. And one of the things that I love that you teach in your Mind Your Own Business teachings and coaching is the one thing about, if someone is wanting to move through the space of claiming back balance, and the first step might be putting yourself first in your own life one of my favorite sayings. And I remember when my ex-husband deployed to Afghanistan, and I thought, oh yes, it took two of us to raise these three kids, and now I am this superhuman who's working full time, has a business, three young kids, 8, 5, and 3, and I can do this all. Yeah, no, that did lasted all of about a month. And I had to literally got my calendar. I literally looked at my calendar and I said, I can't do this. And what can I do to redo so that I don't have a nervous breakdown? Because I literally am the only mother that these kids have and parent. And I looked at my calendar and I went through the whole thing and I looked at the kids and I said, what out of the activities do you want to get rid of? And they're like, we would love to get rid of that rock climbing because we don't like it because we're scared of heights. We did it to please you.
That's so funny. We had our own definition of success and they're like, no, we didn't even sign up for that. You know, signed us up.
And I remember those conversations. It just takes me back to when, you know, and you talk a lot about putting yourself first as well and putting yourself into your own calendar. And it comes into that whole thing of discipline. And this is your jam, and I know this to be true. And so can you give us a little bit of insight on high performance and discipline in your life to help us, if someone was to even change one thing, to move into creating balance besides the communication with family?
I used to be known in my family as Erin, she'll start on Monday, Oaxel. And it wasn't a good look. It was funny until it wasn't funny anymore, right? Here I am, a psychologist, a coach, trying to help people live their best lives. And I lacked some discipline. And I decided to do something about it for myself. The pain of staying the same was greater than the pain of change, right? But I think discipline isn't so much about willpower as it is about what I call why power. And what I mean by that is, I think discipline is doing what you say you're going to do. Well, okay, so let's link that up. If it's not about willpower, then what is it about? I think it's about, again, deciding who you want to be and then what behaviors would be in line with that value system. And so really what discipline is it's a level of confidence in oneself, to confide in oneself, to know that I can keep the promises I'm making to myself. So first, I mean, the first step is awareness of, yeah, okay, I don't keep those promises to myself. Okay, how can I keep those promises to myself? And the confidence is going to come. And then I want to say one last thing about discipline. I think discipline is so sexy. And the reason why is discipline becomes really easy over time. And so I think everyone thinks discipline is always going to be hard. And the goal is that it's going to become easy, and that easy is not sleazy. Easy means mastery. And so the good news is, on the other side of kind of that first big push of creating some momentum in your life, on the other side of that, it's free flowing. On the other side of that push is flow. So it's not as hard for me to be disciplined anymore. I'm not the I'll start on Monday Erin anymore.
I love that. I used to be the I'll start tomorrow. It wasn't necessarily on Monday, but I'll start tomorrow. And Yeah. And so this is when we talk about ease and when we talk about flow, and I just have so much to say about this because I think we could talk about this for an hour. But when it comes down to it, like we all wear many hats and we are all super busy. And I think it also goes back to, you know, what I learned in the coaching realm was when you put yourself in your own calendar and you move into those spaces, like you say, it becomes easy. But what about when we make it hard and we come up with the excuses of, I'm literally too busy and I can't do this, but I want to change. How do you coach someone through that space?
Yeah, I love that question. Thank you. I think we have to become the queens and the kings of no's in our life and the queens and the kings of what's the best yes in our life. And I think that a skill set that was really missing in most of our childhoods was the ability to set some boundaries. And I grew up in Minnesota and we're known to be Minnesota nice. And I really was confused about how do I set boundaries without being a jerk? And I thought setting boundaries was about if I was nice. And so my yes to you meant that I was nice. And if I were to say no to you, that would be a betrayal of who I wanted to be. And so it became really difficult. And I learned that that's just not true, right? My self-care coach has taught me this concept that I love to share with people. And it's, I care about you, so I'm going to take care of me. I love you, so I'm going to take care of me. And I just have become really savvy with what gets my yes and what gets my no, but that requires an understanding that what other people think of your boundaries is none of your business. And that is a hard one because I have lots of people that have thoughts about my boundaries. And if I were to manage those all day long, in fact, I spent a good part of my adulthood doing that. It caused me a lot of pain, a lot of fear, and a lot of self-destruction, actually. So really looking at who gets your best yes and learning simple things like you can say, you know, my heart is saying yes, but my calendar is saying no. I mean, you can learn and you can learn to tolerate the discomfort of saying, I can't meet with you until 3 weeks. I would love to be able to see you tomorrow if I could, but I can't. Tolerate the distress. Tolerate being uncomfortable. And the person's going to see you in 3 weeks and be glad to see you. But no one can learn to set those boundaries for yourself other than yourself.
Absolutely. And I love the self-care piece of the no's and the yeses. And I remember one conversation we were having about a human that was in my life. And we'd had, you know, a disagreement and we were on the outs. And you're like, and the words were, before you let him back in, make sure he earns the right to be at your table.
That was a good one.
That was a great one.
Good one. And not everyone deserves. And that is tricky for especially women because it feels like we're judging people's worth on the planet. And we are not judging their worth on the planet. We're judging whether or not they get time in our calendar. That's it. So it's a lot of self-development to be able to do that.
Oh, absolutely. And some of the best lessons came through, you know, post-separation and divorce and dating. And, you know, and that's really where you become super clear on balance. Because
I really loved watching you get curious about what does Heather like? What do I like this? Do I like that? Do I not like this? Do I like that? Do I want a person like this? Do I want a person like that? Is that tolerable? Is that not tolerable? Is that a deal breaker or is that something I can negotiate? Like that's the exploration.
And it just goes back into tip, like almost another tip or secret, I guess, to finding balance is what are you willing to tolerate in your life? Right. And, you know, so when we talked about earning the right at your table, it goes back to priorities. Where am I going to spend my time? Well, you know what? I'd rather spend time on my rowing machine or time, you know, building my company versus spending it with a human that doesn't add value to my life.
Yes. So it's a brave move for oneself to create that beautiful boundary.
Absolutely. And the other thing too was the power of the ask. That was the other thing that I've learned many times in healthcare management, coaching, being, you know, a business owner and an owner to a team of Get You Visible Publishing, and managing all of that, was I had to ask, because I couldn't do everything on my own. And we often think, as you know, by our self-care coach, Pamela Zimmer, that this is the power of the ask, and it's an act of empowerment and in delegation, not an act and not a one coming from a lack, from a space of, I can't do this. It's actually more powerful to ask for assistance and guidance, and you create that inner circle when you have those trusted relationships.
Oh my goodness. Amen. You know, John Maxwell, the number one leadership coach in the world, he has this thing called the law of the lid, and your law of your level of success will be correlated to your level of your ability to receive. So I have had to work on my ability to receive from others. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And people want to help. They do.
Oh, yes.
And that took me a long time to learn. And when I moved into management healthcare and I was in charge of a multi-million dollar facility and I had a team of like 100, when I went in and I engaged in conversations and asked them questions about, hey, what works well for you in communication style? Hey, what works well for you in a meeting? What works well for you in this environment? Because I was curious to understand them. And when I needed assistance with something, they would be like, hey, pick me, because you made me feel validated, and hey, I want to help you.
Yeah, in psychology, it's called a sense of agency. So people get behind what they co-create. So you were so smart there, you know, and that's why my family got behind me when I wanted to create the business, because Garth was wise to say, let's co-create this together. And so by the time we were standing in line at Disney World, which was our dream that we had never been able to afford to get there, my little Emily looked up at me, not so little, she's 14, and she said, thank you, Mom, for bringing us to Disneyland. And she knew that it was our growing our business as a family that got us there. And she said, will you teach me how to grow a business when I'm older? And so it's just linking all of that up.
And I think that as we've moved into the space of having to be at home with our kids and having to be at home with spouse and, you know, having to create those inner bubbles, this whole new balance has taken on a whole new look. And, you know, and I went from, you know, my son stayed living with his dad post everything, and but now he's back living with me. And so I had a year where I went from, you know, being a full-time mom to being like that seven on, seven off mom. And that was creating a new balance, because it was also creating a new relationship. And there was a lot of feelings that came up there, because I'm sure that many, many separated parents feel this, in that, you know, you go from being in that core family unit to being seven on, seven off. And there's a little bit of guilt there. And you had to navigate the guilt, which is achieving balance. You had to, you know, navigate, oh, I'm on my own again. Okay, that's navigating balance. Oh, my bills are different. I've had to figure out new ways. And it's a really bigger term than just working 9 to 5 and eating, coming home and eating dinner as a family unit, because there's all these different things that really make up the components of this new age.
You know, the happiest, successful people are constantly assessing how things are working. And notice they're not judging, but they're assessing. And our world is moving so fast that this assessment in our family, we've learned to do it pretty regularly. I mean, in nitty gritty, let's get down to the details of what this actually looks like to ask for what you want. Every Saturday morning, my husband and I say, what do you need to do this weekend? What do you need to do? And we plan our weekend. Like, that's the nitty gritty of how it actually looks in real life, in real time. That's how you achieve balance, because what he needs is very different than what I need. very, very different. You know, I need some more decompression time than him. I need some more alone time than him. And so again, not right or wrong. It's like, okay, great. I need this. You need that. Okay, great. Let's figure that out.
Yeah, exactly. I love it. And I think it's just being honest. Honesty and truth in the space of balance is so key. And it's just because it took me a long time to go, no, I'll be the martyr. I'll suck it all up.
Totally. I wore that crown so long.
I wore like the badge of honor for being busy. Yes. But you know, I remember one lady saying to me, we knew what you were going through, but we didn't know what you were going through because you never talked about it. And I said, well, I said, let me tell you over, you know, when my ex-husband deployed, let me tell you what it was really like this last year. Let me tell you what it's been really like. And, you know, but this is where the inner circle kind of carried my company. It carried all of the things while I went and did what I needed to do because my family needed me and I needed me. And I put myself into a space of, yeah, I'm not available because I can't show up in that space. And I had to come from a space of true authenticity and be accountable to that because I wasn't going to fake it. It was, this is my new balance and this is what I need to move, to stay sane and move myself forward. You know, and there was a lot of, and that just takes me into one last point that you do so well, is that we talk about that bounce back, that bounce ability and that pivot. And you're brilliant at this. And I just want to ask you to explain, you know, because we've all pivoted, and just to honor the space of pivoting and bounce back.
Pivot, the word pivot.
Know,
oh my gosh.
I know,
we right? Hear it anymore, right? It's so funny. It was a great Friends episode when Ross was moving the couch and he yelled, pivot. I feel like I'm pivoting every week now. And I was like humming along. I kind of liked how my life was going. I did not want to pivot. So I know there's many listeners out there that felt the same way. But unfortunately, we're being given opportunity to pivot. I just think the number one trait of people that have balance in their life, the research shows this from psychology, is they have a sense of curiosity about their life. Curiosity looks like this. Again, it's kind of constantly just assessing, like, how's this working? I wonder if I change this, how that would work. I wonder if I change this habit in the morning, if that would set up my day to be more. I wonder if I just moved this little cog in the wheel, if that would make everything kind of hum along. I wonder if this is foundational for me, such that if I don't do this one thing, everything else falls to the, you know, wayside. There are certain things that are the fulcrum, I think that's the correct word, of a scale, if we're thinking of balance, that you can try your best to create balance. But, you know, if your identity, if your spirituality is not healthy, everything goes to by the wayside. So just really asking yourself, just constantly assessing, how's this working? I'm a super big fan of not what's right or wrong, but how's it working? It's the psychologist in me. I'm always looking at the function of a behavior versus one size fits all. So look at, well, that really worked for me. Okay, well, then that's right for you.
Absolutely.
So I hope people really hear that concept. Just start asking yourself, is it working? How's it working?
And if you're looking to make the change, I always like how you did it from a space of curiosity, and it was really powerful. And I've heard it from you, and I've heard it from another leader that mentor, you know, that we've done transformational work together. And it's just, you know, I wonder what it would look like when. And so even like, it's just that wonderment and ponderment. And the other thing was, the other key phrase was, try it on for a day. Try it on for a week and see how it fits you. You might like bootlegged jeans, but hey, maybe skinny jeans are attracted. Maybe you want to wear some high top boots. Try on a pair of skinny jeans and see how that works for you. And, you know, and the little, and the, all of the pieces of balance you know, you can really only do one thing at a time. And that really became very apparent to me when I took up hiking this summer, because it was life changing, because we were on the side of a mountain crossing this, like we were scaling this mountain, and there was this little path. And if you slipped off, you were probably at the bottom of that hill. And then we hit snow and slush. And, you know, I just remember, and you saw the pictures, and it was so funny because it was like literally I came off and we called them mountain metaphors. And literally it was, when all else fails, all you can do is literally one, you look ahead and you've got one foot literally in front of the other, because that's all you can do.
I think that's such a great way to tie this all up with a bow, is this idea of being present, but first requires you to determine what kind of life you want to live, the assessment, and then you put it in your calendar, and then you be wherever you are. And there's so much freedom from that discipline. There's so much freedom from that assessment. And it allows you to feel like you did on the mountain of, no, right now I'm supposed to be here at this soccer game watching my child, and I'm going to be fully present because I have figured out the rest of my life and there's a time and a place for all of it. So that's how you achieve balance. Love it.
Where can people find you, Dr. Erin?
Oh my goodness. Dr. Erin Oaksell on Facebook, and you can always go to talkwithdrerin.com if you want to hop on a call and talk about what you're up to in your business and your life, and we can talk about if we're a good fit to work together or not. talkwithdrerin.com.
Love it. And you can also pick up our book for our listeners at www.amazon.com or .ca, What's Balance Got to Do With It. Thank you so much, my friend and Dr. Erin, for being on the show today. And thank you for writing the foreword in the book and bringing forth all of your brilliance to our listeners. And thank you to each and every one of you who tuned in today. And I just, our wish for you is really, you know, take in that one step at a time and be present and just really look at balance with ponderment and wonderment, and just know that you too, in your own unique way, it's like having your own unique story, can achieve balance in your life. Thank you, everyone. We'll see you next time.
Heather Andrews is a story coach, best-selling author, and speaker who supports her clients in connecting with their story and sharing it with the world. She is a sought-after conference speaker who inspires audiences with her unique, dynamic manner by sharing her challenges and survival strategies that continue to help her optimize adversity. If you would like to connect with any of the authors from this series, please see their podcast interview for more information. For more podcast series, please go to getyouvisible.com/podcast. Thank you for listening.